Let's go, girls.
Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson and Molly Vogt. Molly is a former mutual fund consultant and retirement plan specialist who is currently the director and founder of My Purse Politics. Kim served as a city councilwoman, is a former investment broker, and now a successful entrepreneur. Now, let's hear what's hatching in local and national politics with the AmeriChicks. Molly and Kim.
Well, happy Thursday, everybody. What a beautiful, beautiful day out there. This is the AmeriChicks. I'm Molly Vogt.
And I'm Kim Munson.
And we're excited to be here with you every Monday to Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. on your drive home. And right here on KDMT. Now, you can listen to us at 1690 a.m., but you can also listen to us on the internet live and on your phone if you download the KDMT app. Anytime, anywhere, and, you know, you can basically be at the Broncos game or wherever you are and actually listening to us at the same time.
Right. So watch the sports and learn something.
Exactly. The phone number is 303-632-4160. Today, we're going to be talking a lot about taxes. And this is something that's very important for everybody to know because it's a big deal. You know, every dollar the government spends, they actually get from us. So it's important for us to know what they're spending, what they're planning to spend it on, how much they need, how much they want, and how they're going to get it. So we're going to talk about tax policy today because that does affect your wallet. And Jay Davidson, CEO and founder of the First America State Bank, is going to be here in studio with us in the second segment to start that conversation.
Yep. So that will be very interesting. We do hope you're all having a terrific Thursday. Just a little bookkeeping. We are the AmeriChicks. That is our website. That's where we are on Facebook and Twitter. The call-in number is 303-632-4160. Don't be shy, but you can certainly text us as well if you have a question and you have our phone number. And it's going to be a great show. What's on your radar today, Molly?
Well, I've got a lot on my radar. I'll tell you something pretty positive that makes me happy. You know, North Korea, it's been kind of nerve-wracking to see that they keep doing these missile tests over and over and over again and really just, you know, kind of thumbing their nose at the rest of the world saying, we don't care what you think. We're just going to keep doing our test. And I really loved President Trump's speech to the United Nations yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people really rallied behind it. And he talked a lot about the importance of all nations being sovereign, which I think is great. And it kind of gets us away from that whole one world order thing. But it also said that all of these sovereign nations should come together and work together to fight evil. Mm-hmm. And they did put some sanctions on North Korea. They watered them down a little bit so that China and Russia would agree. But it worked. They passed. And I'm happy to see today in the news I read that China's main bank actually sent notes to all their banks saying do not give loans and do not do any more financial business with North Korea, with their leader. And I thought that was really good to see. They're actually following through on the sanctions.
Yeah, that is very encouraging because we really needed that to happen to actually get some action on what's going on regarding Rocket Man over in North Korea.
Yeah. But the strange thing is that now China's proving that they are going to work with us and that they don't want, somebody putting together nuclear weapons in their backyard. But South Korea just approved an $8 million loan to North Korea.
And they're
at the exact same time. And they're going to go through with it. And President Moon said it's for humanitarian aid so that none of this money is actually going to go to Kim Jong-un. Instead, it's going to go to women and children so that they have food.
Well, that seems very noble. My question is how are they sure that that's going to happen that way?
Right. Right. And why? And I think also if you're giving money to, and I'd say to a dictator, because you're trying to give food to the people, isn't that kind of saying it's okay to keep doing what you're doing? We'll take care of them. And I don't know.
This is a head scratcher.
It's a head scratcher to me, too, especially because they're so close. I mean, I wonder if South Korea wants to stay kind of on the good side because they're so close they can be reached with a missile. They've proved it with all of their launches this year. But I don't know.
It seems naive to me.
That's just a curious one for me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, Molly, last night, changing gears just a little bit, what's on my radar, met with a number of women out in Jefferson County. And we were just kind of asking what's on your heart, what's on your radar. And I would say overwhelmingly the answer has been immigration. And then one of the, well, Evie brought this up regarding DACA, that there is really two different types of DACA. There are kids that came here with their parents, and this is, you know, this is what they know. They are technically, I mean, they know America. They said, then there's this other, and I just saw that Jeff Sessions has, there's an article from Politico, and said, and Jeff Sessions says, many unaccompanied minors are wolves in sheep's clothing. And so they're talking about all of these unaccompanied minors, which that is totally different. People need to understand, on one hand, we've got politicians and bureaucrats talking and talking about kids that came here with their parents, and they want to go to school and they want to better their lives. And then we have, how can you be an unaccompanied minor and come across the border? And we know that several years ago, there was a lot of that. And Attorney General Jeff Sessions said that he is warning that many of these unaccompanied minors that have entered or are trying to enter the U.S. across the southern border are gang members mm-hmm. who the country should view as wolves in sheep clothing. So next week, we're going to have Michael Cutler on again. And we're going to talk about MS-13. So I bet he'll be all over this.
Yeah, I do too. You know, another thing when it comes to the DACA talks, it like you said, you know, these kids came here. They didn't choose to come here. Their parents broke the law. And in fact, you know, really kind of really affected their kids' lives, obviously, to bring them here and raise them here so they know nothing else. I'm wondering if they are going to put together a plan to allow them to stay and do something permanent rather mm-hmm. than, you know, DACA was passed by executive order. It was not done the legal way, and it's a Band-Aid. It's not a fix. If they do decide that they're going to let them stay here, or give them some sort of a path long-term to citizenship or at least residency or work visas or something, I think that at the same time, we definitely have to have more border security mm-hmm. because what President Obama did when he started to say, you know, we're not going to send anybody back, we're going to give amnesty to all these different groups, that basically was an incentive for more people to sneak over right. the border because they said, okay, they're going to let me stay. I can sneak over. It's an incentive. So if we are going to incentivize people to come here illegally and bring their children because of whatever might happen with the new DACA law, then we have to also at the exact same time put more border security in place to make sure that the new people that are trying to sneak over can't.
Well, and when we talk about rule of law here in America, we realize that what President Obama did was basically unconstitutional, and it was just a Band-Aid. It really was 2 years, and then it has to be renewed. And in essence, if people are really serious about wanting to do something about DACA, and President Obama, you know, had the Congress, they could have done something about it, and they didn't. So there's all this lip service over here. When they could have really done something about it, they didn't. Mm-hmm. And so now President Trump has said, you know what, we need to get an answer to this, and it needs to be done the proper way. So when people say that Trump is trying to get rid of DACA, he's actually trying to push it over to Congress and say, you deal with it and pass legislation to deal with it. And now we have seen that those over in Congress, they really don't like to work.
No.
Yeah.
No, they like to shuffle papers. But I also like the fact that President Trump is working with both sides on this. He's like, I don't care if it's Republicans or Democrats. Let's come together and let's talk about what's going on and make a deal. Because as long as you have something put into law, then there will be some sort of security for people. Otherwise, you just don't know. And that's more harmful to our youth, I think, than anything else. The other thing that's on my radar, Kim, I'm going to kind of ask you a riddle question. If you were the CIA director, imagine that, CIA director Munson.
Yeah.
And a UN ambassador whose job really didn't allow for intelligence-related functions was asking you to unmask Americans over and over and over again, would you do it, A, and B, would you question why somebody like that would ask for that information?
Now, you're asking me that, and what would I do? That is a layup question. You know what I would do, right?
Well, hopefully you would do something different than what John Brennan did. But anyway, they asked the question, and John Brennan said, you know, he's like, I don't remember that. No, I don't recall. But apparently it sounds like Samantha Powers asked more than 260 times in the past, in 2016,
that?
But he doesn't remember that.
That is a problem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, I do forget things, but if you ask me 260 times, I think I'll probably remember that one.
Most people need to hear it 3 times to 7 times, 260. You might want to start taking some ginkgo biloba if your memory's losing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, we're going to find out pretty soon. They are going to bring Samantha Powers in front of the House Intelligence Committee next month to start answering some questions. And I think that's a pretty good plan because we trust our government. When we put together the Patriot Act and we said, yes, we know they're a terrorist and we want to make sure that you can get to the terrorist. So we gave them a little bit of an extra spying opportunity. But that was to go after people that they really had a reason to think would endanger us. Not all of us, and certainly not for political party purposes.
You know, Molly, mentioning the Patriot Act, I was talking to a young person the other day, and she'd always kind of been a George Bush supporter. And back during that time, I really was as well. And when they came up with the Patriot Act, I'm kind of looking at it, I'm thinking, oh, I don't think that this is really a good idea. I think that this could be abused. But okay, if we're going to keep our people safe, in retrospect, we have to make sure that we follow the Constitution. Because if you start to blur the lines, then what happens is the next guy may come out and just morph this baby into what we have now. So I have decided that that was a very bad choice on our part.
Yeah. Well, you know, actually, if our government did what they were supposed to do and they protected the borders and they made sure that immigration law was enforced, we probably wouldn't be at such risk that we had to worry about so many people and terrorists in our country that want to hurt us.
Good point.
So they wouldn't need the extra spying and we wouldn't need the cavity checks in the TSA line.
Ugh.
So on a better note, we're going to talk about money and how to get more of it in your pocket in the next segment. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
If you're a veteran looking to purchase a home, choose the local experts, Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance. VA loans offer qualifying veterans the option to buy without a down payment. And since these loans are government insured, limited closing fees. Active duty military, reserves, National Guard, retired military, and surviving spouses may qualify. Give Kim Sturtz or Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance a call today at 303-888-2732. Or check them out on the AmeriChicks referral list at AmeriChicks.com. Home Mortgage Alliance LLC is an approved FHA lender and sponsored agent of VA loans. NMLS number 1137507.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516 or visit her online at Karen-Levine.com and tell her the AmeriChicks sent you. Bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes. Oh my! No need to worry about your company or personal finances with the proven professionals at Predovich & Company. Predovich & Company are certified public accountants who offer exceptional services to individuals, businesses, and nonprofits. Serving the South Metro area, the team at Predovich & Company strives to take a proactive approach in understanding your tax, accounting, and bookkeeping needs and situation. Give Predovich & Company a call at 303-791-3000 or check out their website at dpredovich.com and be sure to tell them the AmeriChick sent you.
Have a great night out and watch the best movies under the stars at the historic 88 Drive-In Theater. All new movies are a triple feature and only $8. Children under 12 are free. Stay for one or all three. 88 Drive-In Theater, the last remaining original drive-in theater in the Denver metro area. And they've been serving the community since 1972. Be sure to visit their delicious snack bar. Monday through Thursday, get their special pizza deal. One 12-inch pizza and two 16-ounce sodas, all for only $11. Be sure to try the delicious funnel cake with up to 4 toppings to choose from. For more info on movie showings and times, visit 88drivein.com. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks send you.
Welcome back to the AmeriChicks. Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. Our website is AmeriChicks.com. There's all kinds of great information there. All of our shows are archived there. And we are the AmeriChicks on Twitter and on Facebook. And Molly, at 88 Drive-In this weekend, the movies are
scary.
Well, Lego Ninjago movie.
Not scary.
Then It.
Scary.
Annabelle Creation.
Scary.
Okay, so and now that it's getting a little cooler, there's going to be some hot cider. So they have a new drink. So get out to the 88 Drive-In this weekend.
Yum, yum. Sounds good.
So we're going to jump in here. We have one of our favorite guests. We have a lot of great guests, but one of our favorite guests.
With the coolest hair.
That's right. And that's Jay Davidson. He is.
I had nothing to do with that.
He is a co-founder. He's the CEO of First American State Bank right here in Colorado. These community banks are so important. They are the the tools that Main Street needs to be able to finance our hopes and dreams, finances the economy here in America, and what is makes America so unique about the American dream, the middle class. And Jay Davidson, it is always a pleasure to have you here. And we get calls. People say, he is one smart guy.
Well, I fooled many people in my life, and I'm glad to see that I'm continuing to fool them. But thank you, ladies, for all that you do. I really appreciate that.
Well, it's great to have you here. And people are talking about taxes.
Mm-hmm.
President Trump is going to come out with a tax plan. We're all wondering what that's going to look like. We had Dr. Brian Dmitrovic on last week, and he has written this book with Larry Kudlow on supply-side economics,
right.
JFK and the Reagan Revolution. And I'd read something somewhere that Larry Kudlow is talking to President Trump, and I was very glad to hear that. But let's talk about tax policy.
Sure.
So you said that let's go back to the basics. What a good place to start. So let's start.
Yeah, I thought rather than try to make a sense of all the tax ideas that are out there, tax reform ideas that are out there, and there's many, and as many politicians, there are that many ideas. Okay. But I thought if we could go back and talk about the principles underlying tax policy. But tax policy is one of three things that resides under fiscal policy. And I think if we start at the basics, we've got to talk a little bit about fiscal policy and then morph into tax policy, a subset of fiscal policy. The fiscal policy is set by the House of Representatives. They determine the spending, the taxation, and the regulatory involvement of federal agencies in the private citizens' world. And then the Senate gets involved, and they put a bill together, and it goes to the president, and it gets passed or doesn't get passed. But it starts at the House of Representatives. And so your representatives are the key issue here, and it's important to get to them. So there are three tools that the Congress has under fiscal policy. Number one is federal spending.
And they're really good at that.
They're very good at. They're way too good at that.
They practice a lot.
I'd say they're not really good at it because they do it so inefficiently. They waste.
Oh, I was saying, mean they're practicing a lot.
I'm just saying.
She was being facetious. Now, that federal spending includes the debt that we're running up, $20 trillion in debt. We're spending more money to the tune of $20 trillion more than we're making. How can you do that? You can't. There's an end point here, just like in your home. You can't do it. The second tool that the fiscal policy has is tax policy, which we'll talk about that. Tax policy generates the revenue that runs the government. And I submit to you that taxes are the major source of revenue for the federal government. Taxes and debt now, but taxes certainly. And I'd also submit to you that we have an obligation to demand more efficiency in the use of our taxes because it's a zero-sum game. Now, I understand that you got to pay for your government. I'm okay with that, and we all pay our fair share. But with the progressive tax code that we have today, where the upper 1%, whom everybody seems to hate,
pays most of it.
They pay most of it, yeah. Mm-hmm. The top 1% pays 20%? The top 10% pay 50%.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom 30% pay nothing, 50%, something like that. I mean,
and the top 1% that pay that much are only the ones that aren't really tight with the politicians because they get a carve out or some kind of a waiver or some kind of a loophole.
Yeah, we call that cronyism. Absolutely. Elon Musk and Warren Buffett come to mind.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you know how Elon Musk made $2.6 million?
No.
Or it's $2.6 billion. He started with over $4 billion of government money.
Oh, that's a joke about how to make a ranch work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
start with two if you want to make one.
Exactly.
And then the final thing that the fiscal policy is federal activity, and a very critical issue. That is the rules, regulations, and laws that they pass and how much intervention the federal government has in our private lives. I would submit to you that, granted, I'm an extremely regulated industry, rightfully so, but it's gotten beyond comprehension now. And I'm sure when you talk to the doctors, medical doctors, you hear the same thing, or energy guys, or unless you're in it and unless you own your business, you don't know how bad it is. But I'm telling you that is affecting you individually.
Right.
I'm doing things because the regulators are all over my case and every other bank's case to you when you bank with me. You may not know it, but mm-hmm. it's there.
Well, they are even regulating like hair braiding.
Yes.
And what I think it's important that people understand is that Congress is supposed to pass laws. And that is what is what's the rules. That's supposed to be what right. the rules are. Jay, I would submit that Congress has abdicated their responsibility to these administrative state agencies that are putting in rules and regulations that have the penalty of that laws have. They can have penalties, financial penalties, all those kinds of things.
Fees, right.
Fees. And that's not the way it's supposed to be.
No, it's not. In fact, the Constitution specifically gives Congress and only Congress the right to levy taxes and fees. The reason is that Congress, and particularly the House of Representatives, that's why it's in the House, have to see us every 2 years. And if they do something wrong, we can vote them out. That is the reason that they're given that one authority. It's been abused terribly. And the seminal case here is called the Chevron deferral.
Mm, you mentioned that before. What is that exactly?
In the 1980s, Congress allowed the EPA to establish certain rules instead of establishing the tax and fees codes as they should have done. They abdicated, as you said, that authority to the EPA. The EPA then enforced a large number of fees and penalties upon Chevron. Chevron objected. It didn't go to the Supremes yet. I don't think it did. You have to ask your lawyers this, but with Gorsuch in place, I do pray that they bring the Chevron deferral back, because we lost the first go around. And the idea was to put, if there's going to be fees or taxes or penalties, let the Congress do it, period. Don't just hand them a blank sheet like they did with CFPB, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, under the Dodd-Frank Act. It's carte blanche to this extremely far-left organization that Elizabeth Warren created out of her head. And in fact, CFPB is no longer under control of Congress in any way, shape, or form. Where other agencies are, it's under the Fed Reserve. And the Fed can print all the money they want. They don't have to go to Congress and ask for money.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a brilliant act in a very evil manner, okay?
Mm-hmm. I get it. We're talking with Jay Davidson. He is the co-founder and the CEO of First American State Bank. So that is not unique to the federal government. We see that kind of behavior at the state, county, and local level as well.
Right.
So,
And I'd say also one of the reasons that this should matter to everyday people like us sitting here right now is that, you know, when you go, if we're going to give the power to somebody to tax us or close our business down, then I think that person should be accountable to us and have to look us in the eye.
Amen.
And you never look the EPA in the eye. There's never anybody that's accountable, mm-hmm. right?
No.
And the regulations are made to a point that you can never know them all, so you can never comply with them all. So you're kind of, it doesn't matter if you try as hard as you can to comply with them all. They can come in and say you didn't and shut you down. And a lot of people, you go out of business. Some people go out because of bad luck and because they made some bad decisions. But a lot just go out because they can't afford it anymore. And that's due to government policies. And that's why it's important to know what is the role of Congress and what should my taxes look like so that, you know, you can get to work and do the right thing for your family.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's why only two banks were created. New banks were started up in the last 8 years under Obama. Only two. Normally we'd have between 1,200 and 1,500 new banks start up. That's how oppressive the regulatory environment is right now. And it's just starting to get better. It's not there yet. So you're exactly right.
And we want banks because, you know, the people, they get this bad rap because some of the big guys have made some greedy decisions. But the little ones like yours, you lend your money. You're taking a risk with your money, making a bet on small businesses that may or may not pay you back, may or may not make it. But
right.
that's the only chance they have to get going is to take a loan. And so they go in front of you. They give you the business plan. Here's the idea. And you can look them in the eye and make a decision.
That's exactly right, and we're pretty good at it because we know our customers pretty well. Most of us community banks are very conservative, very fiscally conservative, and very safe in what we do. And we're the final gateway for Fed policy. If Fed wants monetary policy to work, they want to pump money into the economy, we're the ones that do it. It's not the big guys. They're not interested in mom-and-pop shops. They don't have a clue how they run, and that's okay. You know, I don't have a clue how to run zillions of big accounts. That's what they do for a living. But yeah, community banks really serve the mom and pop shop. And oh, by the way, the mom and pop shop create over 65% of all new jobs. Mm-hmm. They're very important.
Mm-hmm. You know, as you two are just sitting here talking about community banks, I really think that it's actually very compassionate. As you mentioned, you know your clients. And so you never, you certainly, you know, have to make sure that you understand the risk and all the collateral and all those kinds of things. But you don't want to set somebody up for failure. You know, you're gonna want to make sure that you are lending to someone that, and as Molly mentioned, you know, things can happen, bad luck can happen, but you want to make sure that you've looked at all that, and as a responsible businessman, you will not only be setting your own business up for success, but you also want to set these little businesses up for success.
Yeah, we know a thing or two about collateral and cash flow, and we try to impart that to our borrower, and we're kind of insistent on that on the front end. The saying is you close hard and you collect easy. We're very careful about that because I have to look this fellow in the eye, and I probably met his wife and his children and know his friends and stuff, and say, I'm going to take your business away from you. I'm going to foreclose you out because you're not paying me, and I have
to get
the money.
That's not what you
want to
do.
No, not at all. It's not fun.
Yeah.
And you always lose money as a bank. I'll tell you that, too.
Right. So you want everybody to succeed.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of training on the front end of the deal.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the training, exactly, I think, too, is that's one thing you're doing is you're helping to train these business owners on what would make a better plan. What would a better strategic plan look like? So they're getting education and coming to you.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah. Yeah. All the community bankers do this kind of thing. Mm. Yeah. It's what we do for a living. Yeah.
And the two new ones do that as well in the last year.
Yeah, I think they do. They're young, but they're probably old-time bankers.
Okay, we're going to be coming into break here. What's going to be the next thing that we're going to talk about when we come back from break, Jay Davidson?
Well, I thought we'd continue on this discussion because it is so important to our understanding, and I haven't really come to my conclusion yet, so I'd like to still do that. We have the basic framework of what Congress does through fiscal policy. Now let's talk about what makes good fiscal policy and therefore what makes good tax reform policy.
Mm-hmm. And the reason that this is really timely right now is that the Senate GOP just agreed on a number, $1.5 trillion in tax cuts over the next 10 years. And it sounds like they're going to take a little break and do a little meeting next week to come up with their plan. And hopefully we'll get it by the end of next week. So it's important to know what we should be looking for and what we should tell them would be the best for we the people. So stick with the AmeriChicks on KDMT. We'll be right back with Jay Davidson.
Dude, I need help. How can I perfect my golf swing and keep my promise to put in a whole new kitchen by next month?
No worries. Call Rafe and Colin at Harmony Ridge Construction. They've been doing this for 40 years all over the globe. Trust me, they'll make you look like a genius, and you'll have more time to perfect that golf swing. You really need to work on that.
Great. I'll give Harmony Ridge Construction a call today. What's their number?
720-660-0265. Or visit them online at harmonyridgeconstruction.com. They're best for any small fix or large remodel. They'll help you out.
Guy Whidden, 101st Airborne, landed Normandy in the dark on D-Day 1944, was knocked out on the jump, woke up, a gun to his head. What happened next? If you love the AmeriChicks World War II project on Fridays and know a World War II vet, we'd love to share their story. We're in a race against time to gather as many stories as possible and as quickly as possible to preserve them for all future generations. So if you know a World War II vet or have that great World War II story to share, email us at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. That's the AmeriChicks@gmail.com.
And now, the Lens of Liberty. Here is Helen Kriebel.
A veterinarian in Massachusetts is studying how women react when they're shown photographs of their children and their dogs. She hopes to find out whether mothers love their dogs as much as their children. Like millions of Americans, my dog is a treasured family member and a reliable companion. So why does that relationship require a scientific study? The federal government paid $370,000 for it. If federal administrators would look through the lens of liberty before giving out millions of dollars worth of these silly grants, they would realize the source of the money. It comes from the taxes of hardworking Americans who already know, without a government study, how much we love our dogs.
For more information, go to lensofliberty.org. That's lensofliberty.org.
Hey, happy Thursday, everybody. You know, we're talking about fiscal policy, and that is legislated by the Congress. It consists of several tools: federal spending, tax policy, and then activity from the federal government, like rules, regulations, and laws. All of these things affect your wallet, your pocketbook. And we're talking about this because we really want to help people to save their money so that they can build businesses and build lives and do what they want. And small businesses, as Jay Davidson mentioned in the last segment, small businesses really create about 65% of the jobs out
there.
And so we want to help small businesses. And so real quick, I want to make a plug for a friend and a sponsor of ours, Evan, Your IT Guy. They are specializing in helping small business owners, and they help individuals as well. But they're a team of IT professionals, and they provide on-demand help with your computer needs. And as you know, when you're a new business getting started, there's a lot of startup costs. And getting that computer up and running, getting your website, getting all that stuff in order can be a hassle and can cost you money. So you need professionals. And if you can't afford an IT team of your own right away, Evan, Your IT Guy is your solution for sure. So check them out. Also, if you go on to their website right now and go under Discover, see free webcam cover, give them your address, say the AmeriChick sent you, and they will send you a free webcam cover for your computer so that you don't have to have that sticky tape if you're worried about anyone driving by and trying to check you out through your computer screen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so back to taxes. So, you know, we are hoping that sometime this year we are going to get a new tax policy. And hopefully the right and the left can figure out what they need to do to work together and get something done. But we have Jay Davidson in studio. He's the CEO and founder of First America State Bank. And he comes on the show with us once a month and does a great job of helping break down fiscal policy, monetary policy. And so we've got him in studio with us right now. Let's continue, Jay. Talk to us more about what you think we should see in tax reform and why it affects people.
Certainly. As you said, there are three aspects to fiscal policy. It's government spending, their tax policy, and federal activity, which is rules and regulations. If you think about what should the proper tax reform do, and I submit to you that it is in the best interest of the nation to allow private industry, private individuals, private business, as opposed to public or government-sponsored, let the private enterprise thrive, because that's where the entirety of the federal revenue comes from, that and taxes, that and debt. But we, the consumer, the private people, pay that debt eventually.
Our children do. Grandchildren do.
Yeah, forever, for $20 trillion worth of it. I can't, you know. So think about the source of revenue is the private business. If you overtax the private business, no matter what you think about capitalism, you shut it down. People stop getting into business, stop growing their businesses, stop hiring people. Conversely, if you have tax code and fiscal policy, actually, because they all three, federal spending, regulations, and tax policy, all go together. But if you have tax policy that helps the individual build his or her own business, then you have the best of all worlds. Ronald Reagan is a shining example of that back when he was first president, mm-hmm. and got it done.
Got to 8% growth.
Yeah, 8 to 9% GDP mm-hmm. growth. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting here for the entirety of Obama's time, it was 1.5.
Yep.
It wasn't even out of the recession. That was a lost decade.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, government people.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
I hope they're listening.
I don't know. I've been wearing tinfoil hats at home now. So.
Well, don't stand near the microwave.
Right.
Kim learned that one the hard way.
That hurts, I can tell you.
But you make a good point, Jay. And we said this at break, but I was just, the way you were explaining it, when the government overtax private businesses, they shut them down, they stifle the growth. It's really like we have to explain to the government that they need to take their boot off of their own source of revenue.
Yeah,
they're
absolutely
hurting themselves. Their
it's
goals,
insane.
They have lofty goals, they want to help everybody, but if they have so many regulations and taxes in place that we the people can't create any wealth, they have nothing to take.
And then the nation goes down the tubes.
Right.
Economically.
Look at Venezuela.
See, this is all about this
Every
is about
socialism.
Power, though. It's not about caring about individual businesses and all. It's about power. And then when they didn't have enough money, that's why you see this $20 trillion in debt.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so they really, I submit, they don't really give a flying rip about individual businesses. Okay. It's all about power.
And I think that that's true, and there are some that only care about power, but I think there's also got to be some people that are in Congress that don't understand economics. And as our friend Jay Davidson, when he sends us some little notes, sometimes he likes to quote Hayek, and he says, if a socialist understood economics, they would no longer be socialists. And so that's
right.
why we're doing the show, to explain it.
Right.
We're not battering, it's not Republican versus Democrat here. It's let's just teach them economics so they can make good sound policy.
Make their own decision.
Yeah.
Because this stuff is logical and it does work. If you look at the Democrat, typically Democrats like a certain type of tax. And their idea for taxation is social engineering, basically, is what it comes down to. They view taxes as a revenue source to increase spending on entitlements, which is a form of social engineering. That also brings with it greater federal control. I would submit to you how effective and efficient that is. The poverty rate when LBJ did it 60 years ago was 14.8. Today, after trillions of dollars, it's 14.8. He hasn't moved that needle one iota.
Kind of makes you wonder if results even matter to the government.
I don't think they do. And I think that's why they're not good stewards of our money. And they're taking more of our money than ever before. And they're going into debt.
Yeah.
And not only spending what we give them, which is where they should stop at the least, but they're going into debt. And this is all on us. It's not on them. It's so wrong. It makes you a head spin when you start thinking about this.
Well, you understand. I mean, Jay Davidson, your bank, if you're going to lend somebody money and they don't pay it back and they keep coming to you for more and more and more and more money and they're not paying anything back, you're going to stop giving it to them. You'll learn the lesson.
Right.
But the federal government keeps coming to us for more and more money. They're failing at the war on poverty. They're failing at the war on drugs. They keep asking us for money, and people keep voting in people that say yes.
Exactly right. And politicians, and I'm speaking very generally here, and so my friends who are politicians, forgive me, but some of these guys and gals don't care about lying on both sides, Democrat and Republican.
Agreed.
You got to look through it. You got to read. You got to understand what their track record is. Obama said a lot of nice things, and then he did everything the opposite of what was nice about what he said. You got to look at the guy's action. Trump says the stupidest things in the world. And yet he actually gets stuff done.
Yeah.
Tell me this makes sense. I don't understand
bizarro
this guy.
World.
It's bizarro world.
Hey, I'd rather good actions than good sweet talking.
Amen.
I don't want to buy any snake oil.
Yeah. Amen. The other thing Democrats like to do is what's called wealth redistribution, or the excuse they start with always is income disparity. And they talk about the top 1% getting about 20% of all income. They say that's a sin. They're destroying the middle class. Actually, Democrats and big government Republicans, they're making the middle class in America. And the reason is that these 1% are the people, for the most part, that started their own businesses, built their own businesses, hire people, empower people to get better, do better, make more money. And oh, by the way, not only does the business pay tax, its rightful share of tax, the individuals who are hired pay their fair share of tax. So these 1%ers that everybody wants to nail are actually doing more good for this nation than most people are. And the thing is, they'll say, they inherited their wealth and they stepped on the backs of the little people. Well, I know a lot of 1%ers, and they're some of the nicest people in the world you would ever want to meet, some of the most moral and ethical people in the world. They would no more step on your back and stab you in the back to get ahead than Mahatma Gandhi would.
Well, now let's think about this, though, because Molly, you just mentioned that in all of this debt, in all of this policy, that the results don't matter, and that we had 14.8% poverty rate when LBJ started this great society, and we still do.
Right.
And so those that typically are saying that they are stepping on people to get where they're going, is I would submit to you that are many of those that as this money goes by and this income redistribution, there is a significant cut that's being taken out for whatever program, and they are actually getting rich, not because they're creating anything, but because they're using public policy and public dollars to get rich.
That's exactly right. That's a very good point. I wish we could put numbers to that number. But the efficiency, the $1 that you send in, where does that go? How efficient is that used? And if you want to judge efficiency by where it gets to the where it's most needed, I would say that 99% of that dollar goes nowhere, but in federal coffers to create jobs for more federal employees who, by the way, tend to vote Democratic. So the Democrats are creating their own voting bloc by doing this kind of stuff. It's actually quite brilliant, but it's extremely evil.
I agree. If we have just a moment here, I just want to interject on something, and that is that I heard that there was a big homeless doodah downtown, like at the convention center, where people could come in and they could get free haircuts and they could get free health care and they could get, you know, free all kinds of things for homeless. And initially people say, boy, that sounds like we're really helping people. But I would submit to you that even if it was just having that person sweep a little bit right in front of the chairs or whatever, I think that when there's value exchanged for value, that gives dignity to the other person.
Amen. You're 100% right.
Okay, we're going to break. We'll be right back.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516. Or visit her online at karen-levine.com and tell her the AmeriChicks sent you.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing from the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, chances are your future clients do too. Let us help you promote your business and fatten up your wallet. To feature your business on the AmeriChicks program, email us at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. We feature the most topical news and intriguing guests every weekday during afternoon drive time, 5 to 6 p.m., while you and your clients are enjoying the program on your way home from work. So become a sponsor today by emailing the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. That's the AmeriChicks@gmail.com. Or visit us online at AmeriChicks.com. Today you need to have a great online and social media presence, and the best in the biz is Desi On Demand. The AmeriChicks Molly and Kim personally work with Brandon, the founder of Desi On Demand. Desi On Demand is instrumental with our video projects, Chick Chat, Eggs, Exceptional Endeavors, and our World War II project. We most heartily endorse his creativity, innovation, dedication, and integrity. Brandon and his team bring all that to the table. Check out Desi On Demand's website at mydesi.com or call 303-359-1522 for more info, and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
In a world of uncertainty, anything can happen. It pays to protect yourself, your family, your business, your home, and your car. And it pays to work with the proven professionals at Alliance Insurance Services. Jeremy McCallum and his Alliance Insurance Services team work with a variety of insurance companies competing for your business. Jeremy and the Alliance Insurance Services team helps you find the right insurance at the right price. They know you'll sleep better at night knowing Alliance Insurance Services is handling all of your insurance needs. Give them a call today at 303-431-9351. That's 303-431-9351. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Hey, welcome back. Yes, we are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. We are the AmeriChicks.com. That's our website. There's all kinds of great information there. All of our shows are archived there. And they have all of our Growing Our Brand partners in there. So make sure that you check out these businesses because these are entrepreneurs. We can stand behind who they are. And so we would highly recommend them. We have in studio with us Jay Davidson. He is the founder or co-founder?
Well, there were two other gentlemen with me that started the bank, so I guess I'm a co-founder, but they're gone now. But.
Okay. So you're co-founder and you are the CEO of First American State Bank right here in Colorado. Community Bank. These are the entities that really have fueled the
business owner wears all hats. It's not as glamorous as it looks.
We get it. But really fuels the American dream, fuels Main Street. And Main Street is the one that the small businesses, they create about 65% of the jobs out there. And so it seems like we would do all that we could do to empower them, help them. Yeah. But we have a tax policy that has been a little, as you say, Molly, cray-cray. A little crazy.
Oh,
yeah.
So
is there any rationality anywhere, Jay Davidson?
Well, yeah.
Other than this room.
Other than this room, very little. But, I just offended everybody.
Yeah.
Good. I'm used to that. Trump's my hero. No. I think there is some rationality out there. There's a lot of people like you and us that talk a lot about these things, that understand the principles, that understand Hayek, von Mises, the Austrian School of Economics, and so forth, what Reagan did for this nation and how intelligent his economic policy was. Because we all believe that the first freedom is economic freedom. And if you don't have economic freedom, you can't make the choice to do what you want to do and what you can do. And economic freedom doesn't...
You're channeling Maggie Thatcher now, aren't you?
Oh, she's... I love her. I got to meet her. She is a very...
Oh, really? That's cool.
But a petite lady. But when she got down on the IRA, she is the Iron Lady. Yeah. She has spine of steel.
But she was tiny, huh?
Oh, tiny. Yeah.
Because I don't know why I expected her to be about 7'5".
Yeah.
You know, just,
well...
That was her persona. That was her persona.
Her idea was... Yeah. She was a strong lady. Yeah. Oh, she's a delightful person.
That's cool.
But anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about what I would call rational tax reform policy. And I would say that would, overall, recognize that taxes should be created to do the least harm to the private economy and to help economic activity.
You could say that's brilliant tax reform policy.
Brilliant is another word. Yeah. But I like to use the term rational because I'm... Yeah.
Rational.
I like rational.
Should be common sense tax
there
policy.
You go. That's
reasonable
so uncommon.
Tax
right.
policy. Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Those are good words. Yeah. Every one of them, I think. And the whole idea, if you agree with that principle, and I think you should agree with that principle, because as we said earlier, the entire source of revenue for the federal government is us, citizens. And we get our money, our revenue that they tax from the businesses that we work at. The people that work for the federal government, you take our money through taxation and spend it on themselves through their own salary. Now, they have a right to do that. I get it. But don't you think maybe they should be held a little bit more accountable?
Right.
Particularly when not only, you know, like my business pays 40% of its revenue in taxes, 40%. And guess what? I don't pay that. Mm-hmm. I pass that on to my customer. Everybody, every business does that. So the consumer is making that payment. And add on to that, further insult, you have to pay income tax mm-hmm. over and above that, state tax, mm-hmm. Real estate tax, car licenses, city tax, consumer
sales tax.
It's insane.
It's amazing that we're able to live.
It's beyond me.
It's really because of capitalism, because of the American idea. I mean, this engine that has been going, it didn't just happen overnight. But there's consistently been things to slow this down. And I think it's a credit to the Constitution, the vision of the Declaration, yeah. that we are still as affluent as we are.
And we could be more affluent.
Mm-hmm.
And I submit to you that doing what I would call rational or brilliant or common sense tax reform, which means reducing the burden on individual businesses, private individuals, to the best of your ability, requires the other two. You've got to stop spending on entitlements. When 60% of the federal budget is balanced, is part of entitlement,
right.
guaranteed entitlement, and you have to balance on 40% or less of the entire budget, you can't do it. It's insane. And what is this entitlement doing? What good is it doing? You need to ask this question. It's one thing to say, well, we should help this guy. I can't argue with that. I agree with you. You know what? I feel bad about this guy that's not doing well or this gal that's not doing well. But the other half of the argument should always be, what's it going to cost? And don't tell me I'm a rank capitalist, because I am, and I'm proud of it, and I'll stand behind it. But there is always a cost. And Democrats love spending other people's money. Mm-hmm. They're not the ones making all the money. It's us right-wing nutcase capitalists that are doing it.
Mm-hmm. Speak for yourself.
Jay, I'd say, you know, I think that the cost, it is financial. It is a financial cost. But I'd say another cost is that it is trapping people.
Yes.
It is trapping
moral
people.
Cost.
And there's a moral cost, mm-hmm. exactly.
Yeah.
So when the government is going to help some people as they go through some hard times, and I know, you know, people do, and there are some people that are very vulnerable, some people that are disabled, that need some government help. The government help should help those people. But then it should also be a trampoline for the rest, rather than a hammock.
Yeah. I'm not
or
sure.
A trap.
I'm not sure that I think government should do that. I really think that if we got taxes down low enough, and people had more money in their pocket, then I think, and we're very generous as it is, but then we would give money to different nonprofits or different entities, and we would make sure that they're doing a good job. Mm-hmm. With whatever it is, homeless or whoever we're helping. Mm-hmm. And if they're not doing a good job, then there's going to be another entity that's going to come out of the ground that is doing a good job, and we will fund that.
Yeah. Well, an example of a good charitable group that's non-government funded, like Step Denver here.
Right.
And what they do, they bring the guys in, they're homeless or they have some sort of an addiction, and they really help them. They help them to get the resume in order and what have you. But these guys get a job immediately and then start paying for themselves. And that builds that self-esteem. I think the government has an egotistical problem. I think the government thinks that there's the solution, every solution to every problem that every person has. And you know what, government, you're just not that good. And we don't need you that much. So maybe we need to send them all a self-help book.
There you go. I agree with you. Yes. Bob Cote over at Step 13. What a great man.
Great.
I miss him a lot.
Let's wrap this up here, Jay, because I think we've just about you. This is a fabulous outline that you gave to us here.
Jay keep going.
Yeah.
You like the pictures that I drew on it? The little stick. No.
The mustache.
The mustache. Yeah. The one thing I'd like to close with is that if you understand that tax rate reductions, along with reductions in federal intervention via rules, regulations, et cetera, and laws, in private capital inevitably leads to business expansion. Inevitably. This is the idea of you create a cocoon for the private businesses, the people that are employing everybody in this nation in the private sector that generate all the revenue for the federal government so it can do all its good things. And you say, tax policy needs to let these people, the private enterprise, the small mom-and-pop shop, even the big guys, do their business. And think about that. And as a business grows, it hires more people, its revenue grows, so its taxes grow, right? Based on a lower tax rate and higher tax revenue, which is the secret that Reagan showed us and Milton Friedman showed us and that everybody seems to have forgotten. And so then as they hire more people, those people pay their income tax and there's more revenue for the federal government. So contrary to what the Democrats and the liberals and some of the big government guys Republicans want to say, helping business grow is the best solution that we have. It also employs more people, talking to the moral issue that you were saying. So you can feel good about yourself. It doesn't matter what your job is. It really doesn't. It's just that you're doing something. You're helping out. It is morally indefensible to allow somebody to go on welfare.
I agree.
In a rare situation where they have to be on it, then let's do a program to get them back off it because they don't like it. Yeah. I don't care what they say.
Get some job experience in there. Work while you're receiving.
Amen.
We had Reverend C.L. Bryan on a week or so ago, and I thought this was pretty amazing. He said that we were talking about slavery, and he had been with the NAACP, and now he really believes in the conservative ideas, the Declaration of the Constitution. But he said the most holy water is the water that comes off a man's brow when he's working. I thought, wow, that's pretty amazing.
Never thought of that, but that's good.
Yeah, I like that.
Powerful.
So wrapping it up, Jay Davidson, the time always goes way too quickly when you're here, but it is just fun. I mean, these are important ideas, and it's just really fun to talk with you about them.
Well, it's my pleasure to talk with you. And if you think about it, what we're talking about, economic freedom, go back to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and look at what they're saying there. They're talking about freedom for the individual, not power to the government. Everything in the Constitution reduces the power of the federal government. But you look at how far and how powerful the federal government is today, you need to be afraid. Because if you're not interested in the government, they're interested in you.
They certainly are. Yeah. They certainly are. So, hey, Molly, I just wanted one other little bookkeeping thing. Denver Street School, they are having a fundraiser. They're kind of raising some for school supplies or something, right?
Yep, and it's a GoFundMe campaign they have. They're looking for $2,500 right now. That's a very small chunk of their entire summer goal of $250,000. But it is for the kids, for school supplies, bus passes, food. And Denver Street School, they don't take government funds. They do this on their own.
I
love it. And so we'd love for you to share, if you can, some money with them. So if you check out the AmeriChicks Facebook page, you will see the GoFundMe for Denver Street School.
And we've had them on, and just really great stories. I mean, kids have really turned their lives around. And you talked about Step Denver, which was Step 13, and Denver Street School. I mean, there's great organizations out there that don't take government money. And so we need to step up and support them.
Yeah. Yeah. When 100% of that money goes to the cause, now you know you're given to the right place.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. That's good charity. Good help. So real quick, I'm going to give a quote from Jay Davidson, who's in studio with us right now. He says, progressives, socialists, and communists live to increase taxation using the excuse that welfare and entitlements are morally just. But these same economic morons ignore the fact that their moral social vision cost money, our money.
Wow. Well,
yeah, well, what can I say? But that's what I think.
And then, very good. And if you want to read more of Jay Davidson's comments on what's going on in economics and finance today, you can check that out on the AmeriChicks website under the tab for economics.
I like it. And ending, von Mises said the state can be and has often been in the course of history the main source of mischief and disaster.
Yep. Tomorrow is Friday. It's World War II Day, so we've got a great veteran. You're not gonna be able to stand holding out listening to him, and you're going to want to share it with everybody you know and your kids and your grandkids. So tune in to the AmeriChicks tomorrow at 5 p.m. right here on 1690 AM. Have a great night.